I myself, as you heard, went to a Baptist university, and I know what it's like to have to go to a certain number of chapels throughout the semester and to be required to do that as a student. I went to Baylor University, as you heard Dr. Dockery say, graduated a few years ago from Baylor and had a very positive experience there. And I'm so blessed to be here in Jackson and be here to visit with you a little bit today. You know, I know what it was like being in college, and I remember those days when you go to college, and I'm just curious. I just have to ask you, have you discovered the little secret yet? A secret that nobody talks about, and it may be a secret that really nobody wants you to know. But you know, if you were like me, I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents made me go to church on Sunday. I had no choice. I had to get up and go and do that. And when I got to college, all of a sudden, guess what? I was on my own. And what happens at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning at your dorm room or your apartment? I don't think anybody comes up and knocks on the door and walks into your room and shakes you by the hand and says, come on, dear, get up. Time to go to church. Maybe if they do that, maybe there's another set of issues we need to talk about. But nobody comes into your dorm room or your apartment and wakes you up and makes you go to church. You're kind of on your own, right? You're kind of your own boss to do that. Decide for yourself whether or not you want to go. And what happens? Well, inevitably, you miss a Sunday, right? You miss that Sunday. Maybe your parents will call you that afternoon, and they'll say, well, where did you go to church, or how was church today? And you say, well, you know, I went to the church of the Rusty Springs this morning, Mom, or maybe I went to the Sleepy Pillows Baptist Church, you know, and it was okay. And well, what did the preacher preach on? Well, he preached on sin, right? That's always a safe one. He preached on sin, and well, that's good. I'm glad you went. But you skip going to church on Sunday, and what happens that next week? What falls apart in your life? Nothing. Nothing happens. And then maybe you miss another Sunday and nothing happens and you're still making good grades and you're still making new friends and life is going well. And before long, you start missing several Sundays and you begin to realize, what am I doing? Why did I go to church in the first place? You know, I was kind of forced to go as a kid and I really had no choice. And now that I'm my own boss, I don't go and nothing happens. And that little question begins to form in the back of our minds and we begin to ask, well, why do I need Jesus? What is this Jesus thing all about anyway? I mean, is religion really just a crutch, people? Is that right? Is it something that only those who are inferior in some way need to go to church and need to attend Sunday school and all that? Why do I need Jesus? Because before long, you begin to realize that you can get by in life without Jesus. You can do a lot of things in life with Jesus. Did you know that? You can be smart without Jesus. You can graduate from college without Jesus. You can get married without Jesus. Now, you may not pick a very good lifelong partner on your own if you just pick it on your own, but you can get married without Jesus. You can have kids without Jesus. And I believe God gives us children, and that is, they are a gift from God, and all life is created by God from the point of conception. But there's lots of pagans and heretics who have children, so you can have children without Jesus, and you can get a job without Jesus, and you can buy a house without Jesus. There's so many things you can do without Jesus. And that's probably the last thing you expected to hear from a Baptist preacher at Union University in Chapel. But that's the secret, and it's out there. You can do a whole lot of things in life without Jesus. And so the question for us this morning is this: why do I need Jesus? If I can do all of these great and wonderful things, why do I need Jesus? Well, I think Jesus answers that question for us in this passage of Scripture you heard Dr. Dockery read a moment ago, and I want to share it with you again. It's from John chapter 11, verses 25, and I'll read down 27. Jesus is talking to Martha, and Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. This, of course, is the passage of Scripture where Jesus goes to the home of his good friend Lazarus, and Lazarus dies. And Jesus knows that, and he delays his coming for 4 days in order to do an incredible miracle and show the power of God, to show that he is God, the Son of God. and to reveal himself in this way. And he arrives on the scene, and the first person he sees is Martha, Lazarus' sister, and he has this conversation with her. And in this conversation, Jesus reveals two truths that have the potential to radically and permanently transform our lives if we can just get a hold of them. Because students, life is really simple. We try to complicate it, but Jesus doesn't. Life is really so simple. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus makes two simple statements that very clearly and decisively remind us why we need Jesus to be the Lord and Master of our lives. And I hope you got an outline when you came in this morning, and there's some fill-in-the-blanks there, and we always do that on Sunday mornings at First Baptist, and I thought we'd have some outlines there for y'all to fill in the blanks if you feel so led. But I want us to see this morning two reasons we need Jesus in our lives. And the first truth is this: we need Jesus to have eternal life. Eternal life. Now, that should be obvious. And I'm sure for most of you, if not all of you, the truth that you have heard before. We need Jesus to have eternal life. We need Jesus if we expect to go to heaven instead of hell. If we want to experience pure love and joy and peace and happiness with the Lord forever in heaven, then we need Jesus. And so Jesus says in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the only way past physical death. For Jesus died on the cross in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. And he rose the third day, forever conquering sin and death, so that whosoever should believe in him, whosoever should trust in him and receive him as Savior and Lord shall live, shall have everlasting eternal life. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be born again. And that's exactly why Christians will never experience, truly experience, death. What Jesus is saying is that our physical bodies are going to die one day. Right? Unless Jesus returns for the rapture and takes us all up to heaven, our physical bodies are going to die one day. But even though our physical bodies die, we still live. Our spirits go immediately to be in the presence of the Lord in heaven. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. So we will experience physical death one day. And when we do, our spirits immediately go to be with the Lord. And then one day, God is going to give us all new spiritual bodies, resurrection bodies. I have time to read 1 Corinthians 15, but let me just share with you a couple of verses. In verse 42 and following, it says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So when Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection and the life, he is saying that the only way we can have eternal life is through faith in him. And to prove that Jesus was telling the truth, he goes over now to see where they have laid Lazarus' body. And he tells them, he says, roll that stone away. And so they roll the stone away. And he calls out to them, Lazarus, come on out. And Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days, gets up and comes back to life and is still wrapped in these grave clothes, and they cut him loose and they let him go, and he's alive. And Jesus shows us clearly that he is God, he is the Son of God, who is the only one who can bring a 4-day-old dead corpse back to life. Only God can do it. It's amazing that the God who gives us life is the God who gives us eternal life. I was reading in Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything, is the title of his book, a description about the creation of proteins. And I'm not a scientist. I didn't study chemistry, so I don't know much about this. Most of y'all, or many of y'all maybe who are pre-med or nursing or whatever, know more about this than I do. But he talked about the fact that proteins, the basic building blocks for proteins, are amino acids. And he says, do you know what the chance is for amino acids to come together spontaneously by themselves to form a protein? It's nil. It's nil. Take, for example, the protein collagen. It has 1,055 amino acids in it. He said, that would be like taking a Las Vegas slot machine. I know none of y'all have been to Las Vegas, but you all perhaps have seen a slot machine. And he says, imagine a slot machine 90 feet wide. And there are 1,055 spinning wheels on that slot machine. And each wheel has 20 different symbols because there are about 20 different basic amino acids that form proteins. And so take these 1,055 wheels, 20 different symbols. How many times would you have to pull that arm for all of those symbols to get in just the right sequence to make collagen? Well, forever. He said, take a much simpler protein that only requires about 200 amino acids. He says, you know what the chances are for those 200 amino acids to randomly come together to form protein? The chances of that, 1 in 10 to the 260th. That's a 1 with 260 zeros behind it. That is a number larger than the number of atoms in the universe. That would be like taking one atom out of the universe, marking an X on it, throwing it somewhere back in the universe, and telling you, you can go anywhere in the universe and pick one atom, and you have to pick the atom with that X on it. Impossible. And yet, that's how rare it is, how improbable it is for amino acids to come together to form proteins, the basic building block for human life. Students, we are not here by chance. We aren't here because we've evolved out of some slime pit. We are here because we have been created by God in a specific and separate act of creation. God creates life. And the only way that we can have life sustained is through the power of God. God creates life and God gives us eternal life as we have faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the resurrection. But most of y'all probably already knew all that, right? I would assume probably most, if not all of y'all, are Christians, and you've repented from your sin. You've turned by faith into Jesus Christ, and you have asked Him to come into your heart, to save you from your sins, to be your Lord and Master, and you're saved. And that may be one reason why you're here at a Christian university, a Baptist university. You know that. You know that Jesus is the only way we can have eternal life. But there's a second truth in this passage of Scripture that Jesus shares that answers our question of why we need Jesus. The second truth is we need Jesus to have abundant life. Abundant life. One of the great themes in the Gospel of John is the fact that the only way we can experience life, is through Jesus Christ. So when you see Jesus saying that He is the life, He isn't just talking about physical life, He's talking about spiritual life. In fact, He is talking about abundant life. And that's why He says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. If He was just talking about eternal life, He could have just said, I'm the resurrection. But He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Students, I want you to hear a truth that has the potential to radically transform your life. And it's this. It's so simple. You and I can never experience real life without Jesus Christ. We can never experience true, real, abundant, overflowing life without Jesus Christ. Oh, you don't need Jesus to make good grades or to get a job or to find a spouse or to have kids or to buy a home. You don't need Jesus to be rich and successful by the world standards. You don't need Jesus to experience the thrill of bungee jumping or skydiving. But you will never have true, real, abundant, overflowing, complete life without Christ. That's what Jesus just got finished saying in the chapter before this. In John 10:10, He says, the thief, talk about Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says what? I am the way and the truth and the life. You can live apart from Jesus and do many great and wonderful things, but you will never have abundant life without Jesus. You will never experience true fulfillment in life without Jesus. You will never complete your purpose in life without Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. Because faith in Jesus is a whole lot more than buying fire insurance so that you don't go to hell. Having faith in Jesus and walking with Jesus day in and day out is about experiencing the power of the living God working through you to be a blessing to others and to bring glory to His holy name. I heard Ted Turner last summer, I didn't hear him in person. I heard a story about him speaking and giving a commencement address. Y'all know Ted Turner is the founder of CNN. and TBS and TNT and other cable stations. He's a media mogul. He's a multi-millionaire, even a billionaire. And he was speaking at a commencement address to graduating seniors from college. And this is what he said. He was talking about the futility of finding satisfaction in money and worldly success. He said, you know, I look at a guy like Bill Gates who has $50 billion. And I look at myself and I only have a few billion dollars. And I think I am a complete failure. A complete failure. How could he say that? How could someone who has billions of dollars feel like a complete failure? Because, friends, Ted Turner, by his own admonition, does not know Jesus Christ. And we can't have real life without Jesus Christ. You can't have peace and contentment and fulfillment, abundant life without Christ. Well, why? Why is that the case? Why do we need Jesus to have abundant life? Well, you'll see several things there on your outline. First of all, I would say that only with Jesus can you fulfill your purpose in life. Only with Jesus can you fulfill your purpose in life. Students, you are not an accident on the part of your biological parents. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You are here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. Do you remember what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5? Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Before God even created Jeremiah, he knew Jeremiah. He had a plan for Jeremiah's life. He knew exactly what it was Jeremiah was going to do. Students, the same thing is true for you. God knows you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. What is that? I don't know. It may be to be a great Christian nurse or lawyer or mathematician or engineer or accountant or whatever. But the point is, God's got a plan and a purpose for you that only you can do. He's got a spot in your kingdom, in the kingdom of God, that only you can fulfill, only you can accomplish your purpose. And we can only do that through Christ. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. Had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. When I was a senior at Baylor, I had my life planned out. I was going to be a lawyer. My older brother is a lawyer, and I was going to be a lawyer, and I had it all planned out. In my last year at Baylor, I had the weight of the world on my shoulders because I knew that I was not doing God's will. I knew that God did not want me to be a lawyer. I wanted money, I wanted power, I wanted all that that goes along with worldly success, and that's what I wanted to do. But God kept saying, no, Craig, and I had the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I felt like, truly, I had come to crossroads in my life where I had to choose. And God said, Craig, you're either going to go my way, or you're going to go your way. You know, C.S. Lewis said that we either say to God, thy will be done, or God says to us, fine, you go your own way. We have to choose to walk with Jesus if we're going to fulfill our purpose in life. And then secondly, only with Jesus can you make a real difference in the world with your life. You know, you can accomplish great things and be honored by society and by your community and all these, and that's wonderful. Those are good things, and that's great that people are recognized for their accomplishments. Does that have any eternal or lasting value? What does? What does Jesus say in John chapter 15, verse 5? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. We can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. I want to bear fruit with my life. I want to do things that are going to make an eternal difference in the world and in God's kingdom. It's great to have money and financial success and those things, but those things don't last. All that the world offers is temporary. I want those things that are going to last forever. How does Christ produce fruit, lasting fruit, through our lives? How about offering a cup of cold water in the name of Christ? How about going on a mission trip and pouring your heart out to people who don't know the Lord and telling them about Jesus and what He means to you? Friends, There are so many things we can do to bear lasting fruit. Christ working through us, accomplishing His purposes through us, ministering to people, sharing His love, yielding to the Holy Spirit, and allowing Him to produce fruit in our lives to make an eternal difference in the world around us. Well, why else do we need to walk with Christ to have abundant life? Well, third, only with Jesus can you have all the blessings that come from God's presence. I do a lot of funerals, a lot of deaths, a lot of grandparents, parents, children who die. The saddest thing in all the world is when that person who died gave no evidence of knowing Jesus Christ. And when that family has no evidence that they know Jesus Christ, where's the hope in that? Where's the joy? Where's the promise of God in that? How sad it is to walk through life without Christ. You know, you may not have experienced any real tragedy in your life. You will. You will. You'll have a loved one, someone close to you die. You'll have financial troubles. You'll have conflicts in your marriage. You're going to have tragedies, things that come in that affect your physical health or the health of a child, the health of someone you love. All of these things that come into our lives and happen to everybody. What is the one who is not walking with Christ? What do they do? Where's the promises of God for them? Because you see, when we are walking with Christ and we've got God's presence in our lives, we have all the blessings that come from His presence. We have peace that comes into our lives. And I've given you several verses there. These are just sample verses. Isaiah 26:3, "You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in You." God gives us strength. There is no situation, if you know the Lord and you're walking with Christ, there is no situation that God cannot give you the strength to handle, to get through. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "God keeps His promise, and He will not allow you to be beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, He will give you the strength to endure it, and so provide you with a way out." Comfort. When we are going through sorrow and sadness, and we just need God to come and wrap His arms of love around us and hold us close to heart, God does that for us when we're walking with Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Love. We don't ever have to worry if we're loved by anyone. God loves us so much, and He pours His love in us and through us. In Galatians 5:22, we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then all the other blessings, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these blessings that come with walking with Jesus. And when we're not walking with the Lord, we get none of that. We're just out there on our own until we turn back to Him. And we ask Christ to come rescue us. But friends, why wait until you hit a crisis? When you're walking with the Lord, you've got His love. You've got His peace. You've got His comfort. You know, I can honestly say in my life that I try typically, and it's the case where I don't worry about so many things. You know, we've moved here from Oklahoma. I have a house in Oklahoma that hasn't sold yet. I'm not worried about that. God's hands. God's going to provide financially. Friends, when you're in God's will for your life, you don't have to worry about things that other people worry about, that other people stay up late at night thinking, how is all this going to work out? It's all in God's hands. Your life is in God's hands. And you can have His peace, comfort, and joy knowing that you belong to Him. And then fourth, only with Jesus can you work for an eternal reward. Can you work for an eternal reward? Yeah, there's lots of neat rewards and materialistic things on earth that we can work for and we can get. But what about an eternal reward? You know, I like one of the truths that Rick Warren shares in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And he says that life on earth is a dress rehearsal for heaven. This is all practice. This is all a training ground for what's going to take place in heaven. And so we need to be working on it here. We need to be using our talents and preparing ourselves now for what He's going to have us do and what He is going to assign to us to do in heaven. I'm afraid some Christians are going to get to heaven and they're going to have to go to Christianity 101 before they can do anything. And they're going to have to begin to learn some of the basic simple truths. But when we walk with the Lord, we are preparing ourselves. We are equipping ourselves. And God is preparing for us an eternal reward. In Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24, we read, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." Think of a person as experienced abundant life, I can't help but think of Billy Graham. He is such a godly man. And it's not the fact that he has led millions to faith in Christ. It's not the fact that he used him in such a public way. I think he's faithful. I think he's a very humble man. And he's got this godly presence about him. That white hair. You know, you just look at him and you think of Moses. You think of someone with great godliness about him. And not long ago, he was speaking in Charlotte, North Carolina. His hometown was honoring him and they were recognizing him. And he got up to say a few words. And this is what he said, and I want to share it with you this morning. He says, "I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist who has been honored by Time magazine as the man of the 20th century. Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle, punching the tickets of each passenger. When he came to Einstein, Einstein reached in his vest pocket, but he couldn't find his ticket. So he reached in his other pocket. It wasn't there. So he looked in his briefcase, but couldn't find it. Then he looked in the seat by him. He couldn't find it. The conductor said, 'Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it.' Einstein nodded appreciatively. The conductor continued down the aisle punching tickets. As he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and saw a great physicist down on his hands and knees looking under his seat for his ticket. The conductor rushed back to him and said, 'Dr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one.' Einstein looked up at him and said, 'Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going.'" Billy Graham continued. He said, "See the suit I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit. My wife, my children, and my grandchildren are telling me I'm a little slovenly in my old age. I used to be a bit more fastidious. So I went out and bought a new suit for this luncheon and one more occasion. You know what that occasion is? This is the suit in which I'll be buried. But when you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit I'm wearing. I want you to remember this. I not only know who I am, I also know where I'm going." Students, do you know who you are? Do you know why you're here? And do you know where you are going? Because God loves you. And He loves you so much, He gives you a choice. The choice to say, "Yes, I want to walk with Christ." Or the choice to say, "No, I want to go my own way." Because you don't need Jesus to do a whole lot of things in this world. But you need Jesus if you want to have eternal life. And you need Jesus if you want to have abundant life. Because everybody dies. But not everybody really lives unless they walk through life with Jesus. Would you stand together and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful that you are a God of patience, that you are a God of love and mercy and grace. Father, that we can turn to you even now and repent for our sin and our selfishness, repent for trying to go through life our own way. Hopefully, Father, if that's been the case, we haven't gotten so far away from you that we no longer hear your voice, that we're no longer sensitive to your touch. God, we pray this morning that if there is any conviction within us whatsoever, that we would confess that to you, confess our sin and our selfishness, and ask you to forgive us and cleanse us. Because, Father, we don't want to waste the gift you have given us. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to look back on the end of our lives and say, "What have I done? How have I lived for you? How have I allowed you to work through me to make a difference in this world? I've taken this wonderful gift and I've taken all of my talents and all of my energy and I've wasted them on myself." Father, please don't let that happen to a single person here today. But God, help us to learn now, while we're young, while there is time, that life is all about walking with you. It's all about that love relationship with you. And we miss out on so much if we don't experience it with you. Help us to know what it means to really live, to know that Jesus is the resurrection, but to know that Jesus is the life. And help us to share that abundant life with others, that they too may know you, that we may encourage them to keep in step with your Spirit and to follow you all the days of our lives. Bless these students now and all that's going on in their lives, Lord, and give them your peace, give them your wisdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.